You see, I had a fabulously wealthy godfather. That was why anything was possible for me. I couldn't remember a time when thoughts of him didn't send a silvery little thrill through my body. He was a mystery and a magician, and all my family's hopes for the future rolled into one. Soon, when the carriage covered the last miles of our journey, I would meet him at last. My godfather and guardian, Monsieur Bernard de Crussac. And his wife, of course, but I tended to forget about her. The wild wood we had plunged into might easily have been the setting for the thief's lair in the robber bridegroom. So tangled and murky and haunted it seemed. However, I smashed a mosquito against my neck and my own blood spurted out. Fairy tale forests would never have been this itchy or this sweltering. Perspiration dripped off my nose before my handkerchief could catch it. Inside my bonnet, my curls were plastered to my head. My godfather had referred to my hair as bronze in one of his letters when I was younger. A letter featuring a delightfully spun story about a princess with tresses the shade of my own. Strands of bronze and gold. Monsieur de Crussac's last letter lay in my lap, its ivory paper limp from much handling. As always, at sight of the bold black handwriting, my chest tightened. A few months earlier, while my family had been going about the sad business of mourning the death of our father, Monsieur de Crussac had been thinking of me. Had been penning this invitation to his home, Wind-Driven Abbey. Telling me he could not return to his solemn duties until he had asked me to come to him so I might sweeten the atmosphere of an old man's dwelling with my companionship, youth, and beauty. My brother Harry had snorted at that last part. In that letter, Monsieur de Crussac called himself an old man. This conflicted with the image I always held of the saint, soldier, explorer. The adventurer I had fantasized about had been old, of course, since he was a friend of my father's, 40 at least, but muscular and hearty. Well, shortly I would know everything. Shortly, my godfather would take his place in my life as a real, solid person, rather than a misty figure of daydreams. On and on we twisted and snaked beneath arched branches in dim green leaf light, swallowed whole by trees. My eyes grew tired of the sporadic, flickering patches of pale sunshine. It was getting late, but evidently in Mississippi, summer heat didn't fade with the day. Surely we'd get there soon. I pulled down my bonnet's crinkly morning crepe veil and shoved down my long, tight sleeves just as the trees thinned. We rounded a curve, and there it stood. The magnificence of the building whooshed at me like a blast of icy wind. Wind-Driven Abbey loomed in the center of spreading lawns and gardens and terraces as though it had stood in that spot for centuries. The drive widened as it approached the great edifice, which seemed more of a town than a house. It was toothed with crenellations and spiky with pinnacles and spires and turrets. The setting sun rosily staining the stone and lighting fires in a myriad of mullioned windows. It was ridiculously vast and grim and terrifying. I loved it already. As we drove down a gravel driveway, edged with dark cedars, though, we passed an eyesore. An ancient, gnarled oak thrust among the cedars, pressing close overhead. It was shrouded with poison ivy, leaves of three, let them be, and diseased with great misshapen nodules bulging on the trunk. A flock of crows burst out of the branches in a cacophony of calling and beating wings. It was not an ill omen. The carriage pulled into a courtyard, and the very tall footman jumped down to help me alight. The coachman and the footman were both Africans, but they seemed elegantly European in their coats of resplendent sapphire velvet. Surely I wasn't actually shrinking as I climbed stone steps to massive iron-shod doors. As per habit, I pinched my cheeks and bit my lips to bring on more color, forgetting that I was probably already flushed from the heat. The de Grissacs must be pleased with my appearance, or at least not appalled.